then with your sermon and talk like that. As I said, I still believe that it's teenager. And quite often between Kezia, my daughter, and I, the reason why we get along right now is because I think our IQ levels kind of match. Right? So when she screams, I don't know how to react, so I scream in return. And so my poor wife has to deal with the husband and daughter. But yeah, it's good fun. It's been great being a father. It's like one of the... I was very scared. And Smita and I were married for 7 years, right? Imagine the kind of pressure that not my parents, but everybody else other than my parents said, everybody's okay, we have gone to see a doctor. But anyway, then we kind of got very, we had that, God really blessed us, and it's been fun being a father. What's tomorrow, by the way?
Your
birthday. Yeah, but what date is it?
Yes,
thank you. You can't even get that obvious, right? I mean, these stories of love. Yeah, so yeah, Valentine's. I'm surprised you guys don't know that tomorrow is Valentine's Day. Yeah. Sorry, 7 days?
It's all very unromantic.
So unromantic, all the Christian boys. Come on. In a way, my parents struggled to bring me up. Do not go by what I look right now. But my parents really struggled. I was a very strong agnostic. I was strong agnostic means. But I was an agnostic until the age of 17, 18. I did almost everything other than drink, have drugs, and smoke. Because my dad taught me how to smoke at the age of 10. And I realized that that's not my thing. That was his way of disciplining me. Why was I telling you this? Valentine's Day. You can't be telling me that you're not romantic. Come on, God was a part of romance. You guys need to wake up and have some fun. I still remember I was about 17 years old when I went for my first official date. And I was pleasantly surprised when she actually told me yes. Has anybody been to Calcutta? Yeah? Oh, very nice. Do you know where this is? The guys in Calcutta? Sorry, the planetarium, yeah? And you know what that church is? That's the St. Paul's Cathedral. And that's the Victoria Memorial. That was the church I used to go to. I was an altar boy there. And I was also part of the choir. And I was also the president of the youth. The only reason I would do all of that was because the girl that I was dating was part of the youth fellowship. So I had my priorities right. So I kept God. God and I, we have this relationship because if he gets too unemployed, he has needs. Right? So it's very interesting. 17 years old, and when she said yes, I went saving my money. And by the way, my father never gave me four. The way I would earn my money is by polishing his shoes. I would get 5 rupees. If I cleaned the car, I would get, I think, 10 rupees. And then, of course, I would have to do all the chores at home and all the change I bought. That would be my fortune. And I saved for almost 6 months money from my car. I had enough money. And at that time, it was not as expensive. And I thought it was a relatively cheap place. So thank God for me being a car. So anyway, my first date, and she said yes. And I think that was the first time I put a blade to my skin as well, right? So, those are the days, my friend, right? So I that was the first time I did my, that I shaved. 5 o'clock was when we were supposed to meet. 4:30, I was there. The entire plan was we would go have coffee, general banquet, and we would walk down Victoria Lane, which is, the main road there. The idea was to walk down and just keep walking till you reach the River Hooghly. You know the River Hooghly? It's the main river in Thailand, right? And then at that time there were these boats that would take you and for a 40-minute ride, and then they'd serve you dinner. Right, so this is what I had planned for at the age of 17 on my first day. About 35 to 40 minutes into all the struggles the other friends are still there. Not very sure what to say and not make a complete fool of yourself. Just when we were warming up, guess who walks in? Yeah, that's right. of all the places, this is amazing. You're like Murphy's Law playing its cards. And my dad just walks in, he looks at me. He wasn't really sure whether it was me because I was quite away from my home. This was some place in somewhere over here. I just lived in Salt Lake, about 14 kilometers away. Somebody sees me and he's like, "Really? Is that you?" And I had this rather sheepish grin. And almost like a cross between a Pinocchio and Pakistan. And that's how I looked. And I'm not really sure how to handle the entire situation. And finally I said, "Oh, you know what, she's just a friend. And since today is my birthday," which by the way, yes, Valentine's Day is when I was born. That was my saving grace. And because it was my birthday, we're just here having a cup of coffee. And guess what, there are more people coming. So you want to stay on? But my dad humored me and said, no, don't worry. And he left. So obviously the entire conversation of the day I introduced her didn't really go very well. So instead of sinking in the boat, I just sank there. And that was the end of my first love story or my first date. And most of the time, that's how all my crushes ended. And that's how I looked most of the time. Because that doesn't have glasses, I do. Thankfully, I met Sita. And then we just kind of hit it off. 7 years we dated, now we've been married for about 8 years. So that's been a good journey, and the entire process I've got domesticated, and I've got soda glasses, right? So from that crazy, wacky little guy, here I am, standing in front of you. And it's been great. It's just been great. And now we've got a daughter. Now I've got two women in my life. What more do you want? Yeah? And that's where love kind of, percolates in. We're in the month of February, right? Most of the time, every year, I start saying, you know what, this year is the year of the three to 5 days, starting from the Old Testament all the way to the New Testament. Last year, I was quite successful because I touched about 60%. Right? This year, it's been good. I've been doing the Old Testament and I've been doing the New Testament, and Smita told me whether to do one proverb every day depending on the day. So it's been happening, right? I still haven't got the wisdom that Proverbs talks about, but I'm getting there. As I said, I keep quite employed. And as I was doing my Old Testament reading, I came across three J's. Three J's. Three J's. Take a guess. What the J's are. By the way, their names. What do you think the J's are? Jacob? Yeah. No, Judah. And Joseph. And of course, I had to take somebody from the New Testament. I decided to be very creative, and I said, okay, this is very Jesus, like safe thing, right? So, it's four J's, and that's what I'm going to be talking about. Four different aspects of love. And try and bear with me. If I'm going too fast, please raise your hand, I'll try and slow down. Jacob. Who was Jacob? Who was Jacob? Does anyone know? Guys, you've got to talk to me. This is not like a normal sermon. You've got to talk to me. Who was Jacob? Not her, she's wrong. Okay, sorry. He was the son of Isaac, right? Very simply, just a normal man. He just happens to be Abraham, Isaac, and then comes Jacob. Right? So that's who Jacob was. What was Jacob famous for? Sorry, deceit. Yeah. What else was he famous for? Sorry? He worked for 7 years. Okay, great. What else? Yeah, he was just a deceitful man, right? Yeah, that's what even his father said. But he said, "Your brother came deceitfully and took your blessing." That is what Jacob, most of his life, went through. He deceived his father, he deceived his brother, he deceived his uncle. In the process, he probably deceived some other people. He also got deceived in the process. But there was, one moment of truth. And you know what that moment of truth was? When he met Rachel. In Genesis 29, he's running away from Esau. Okay, so that's a pattern. He's running away from his brother after having stolen his birthright. And he's running away, and then he comes to this place towards you know, where his uncle was. And he says he meets with these shepherd guys, and he says, "Look," he said, "the sun is still high, it's not time for the flocks to be gathered. Water the sheep and take them back to pasture." And this was their reply. They say, "We can't," they replied, "until all flocks are gathered and the stone has been rolled away from the mouth of the well. Then we will water the sheep." While he was still talking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherdess. Right, so that's the scene. He's talking to these guys, and there's a general banter that's going on. He's saying, the sun is still high. Why aren't you getting the sheep back into the pasture? They said, this is the reason. And then Rachel comes in. And when Jacob saw Rachel, his mother's brother in Laban's and Laban's sheep, he went over, rolled the stone away from the mouth of the well, and watered his uncle's sheep. Then Jacob kissed Rachel and began to weep aloud. And you see the entire reaction there? Suddenly this girl walks in, the guy suddenly becomes already natural. He forgets, you know, he forgets that, oh, you know what, I'm supposed to wait for all the sheep to be gathered. No, no, no. You know, it was like love at first sight, literally. Right? He goes, he forgets, hearing this entire thing up and pushing the board, and then, "You are, come on, you're the one, I love you." And I mean, how many of us would actually just walk up to a girl and just probably get slapped on our face? Look at his boldness. I mean, that was the love that he had for her. Right? And it was so intense that he actually cried. If I cried when I kissed this Nika for the first time, she'd think, "What a beauty." Yeah, it wasn't the 4 glasses good enough. Yeah. And then, yes, as somebody said, not just 7, 14 years was commitment. If I could get my team to work for me like that, I would be amazed. But that was his motivation. We need more girls in my team, yeah? And 14 years is what he labored. That is, he labored for that love. So, that was one part of the way Jacob loved Rebecca. Rachel. Rebecca was that. Judah. Who was Judah? Okay, that was very precise. Even I didn't know. But yes, he was. Thank you. He was one of the sons of Jacob. And you know what the story of Judah was? Judah left his brothers and went down to stay with a man of Adullam named Hira. There Judah met the daughter of a Canaanite man named Shua, who married her and made love to her. After a long time, Judah's wife, the daughter of Shua, died. When Judah had recovered from his grief, he went up to Timnah, the men who were shearing his sheep, and his friend Hira, the Adullamite, went with him. Right, so very simply, Judah went and married somebody not from his own flock, but then he married a woman from the Canaanite, and she died. She basically died in the process. He had a couple of sons, and the daughter-in-law, her name was Tamar, right? And the first son died, the second son got married to her, the second son died, and then finally there was this other son, but he was too young, and Tamar had still not had a child. So for some cultural reason, it was required for her to bear a child so that, you know, the legacy of that family would live on. So Judah told her that, you know, when this boy grows up, you can have him as her husband. I do not understand the cultural context because it's really weird. But here's the thing. Tamar was supposed to get married to the son, right? But that didn't happen. When Judah came back, right, so just going back to that previous slide, just to be here, after a long time when Judah's wife died, Judah had recovered from his grief, and he then comes back with his friend Hira, the Adullamite, and they came back to this place. And when Tamar got to know that he was coming back to this place, she disguises herself and then sat down at the entrance to the road to Timnah, for she saw that though Shelah had now grown up, she had not been given to him as his wife. Why didn't they name their sons George? It's so such a simple name, yeah? Like tongue twisters here. Anyway, when Judah saw her, he thought she was a prostitute, for she had covered her face.
not realizing that she was his daughter-in-law, he went over to her by the roadside and said, "Come now, let me sleep with you." Yeah? Quite direct. And then Tamar says, "What will you give me to sleep with you? I'll send you a young goat. Will you give me something as a pledge until you send it? What do you want as my pledge? Give your seal and its cord and the staff in your hand," she answered. So he gave him this and slept with her, and she became pregnant by him. And she became pregnant. Obviously the community got to know. And the community got to know, they came and told Judah, "Oh, you know what, your daughter-in-law has been an adulteress. Burn her! Burn her!" Right? She then produced what he had left behind, the seal and the cord and staff. Judah was caught out and realized his own hypocrisy and sin. It was not love at first sight, it was lust at first sight. Right? Look at this. He goes to Canaan, sees a beautiful woman, sleeps with her, gets her pregnant. Eventually, she dies. Obviously, his hormones are raging. Comes back, catches hold of a prostitute who he didn't know at that time was his daughter-in-law. Sleeps with her. And his passionate love was actually what? Fulfilling gratification. And so committed was he to the law, he said, you know, burn her. Right? Because if you were caught in adultery, especially if you were living during the Old Testament time, you would be stoned to death. In this case, he just said, burn her. Right? But he was so blinded by that he forgot his own purpose. Right? So sometimes, even in our lives, especially for guys like me, very easy to lust after women. You know? But I have to keep reminding myself, when I married Smita, that was a covenant that I got into with her. I could choose, and I travel a lot. I travel a lot in my work. There are times when I'm doing 4 cities in a week. It can get a little exhausting, right? And it's very easy for the lust of the eyes to take hold of you. And you know what? I could probably get over it. I could probably get away with it. And no one could even know. But I have to remind myself that Smita is the truth. Everything else is a lie. And that is a choice I have to make when I am tempted. Right? Now my liberal levels have come down, and you know, I've come to an age where some of this really doesn't matter. But you know what? It's important for us to recognize this. Right? We all struggle with things like this. Right? In the Old Testament time, Ezra's getting wired. What is it? Start talking about it. Yeah. But you know what? In the Old Testament time, they would just walk up and say, "Come and sleep with me." Today we are a little more careful, right? But you know what? This is so happening and so real. We need to be very careful of the way our mind works. And then we come to Joseph. Who is Joseph? He was the 11th. No, no, poor thing. She's getting a little sad. He was the 11th, right? 11th son, right? That's right. He, thank you. You're very sweet. You're so sweet to remind me of myself. But yeah. The 11th son, Joseph. Right? He was a what? He was a dreamer. Extremely boastful in his ways when he was looking younger. He went and told his brothers, "You guys are going to be going down to me." Right? Who wants to hear that from the younger brother? Right? "You guys are going to go far down to me." So that was Joseph. And the Lord was with Joseph. Now the story really comes into the future. He's around 27, probably. In his late 20s. Right? And he goes through, the brothers didn't like the fact that, you know, this guy is acting over smart, sells him to slavery. He eventually finds himself in Egypt, and then he comes to Potiphar's house. Potiphar was one of the ministers, and he was in charge of the house. Right? What is happening there? The Lord was with Joseph, so he prospered and he lived in the house of the Egyptian master. Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household. The Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The Lord didn't bless Potiphar. The Lord blessed Potiphar because of Joseph. I was listening to a sermon where somebody was pointing at this, and he said, God blesses us. So in our workplace, our workplace starts getting blessed because of us. You know, believe that, especially if you guys are working, right? When I walk into my area of work, I need to believe that that area of work will get blessed through me. And I can be that blessing to the firm that I'm working for. Now, Joseph was well built and handsome. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." What is in the family? Everything's like your ancient, isn't it? And sometimes I wish I was there in the Old Testament. Right? It's amazing. He was well built and handsome, because I'm not well built, and I'm not really sure about being handsome, but yeah, he says, "Come to bed with me." Obviously, it must have been a crush, an infatuation. Or maybe Potiphar was so getting used to Joseph and taking care of his stuff, maybe he only spent time drinking and eating and forgot that there's a wife that he needs to take care of. Right? I mean, come on, we know what that means, right? And obviously, yeah, she was looking for that and probably saw that in Joseph. What does Joseph do? He refused. "With me in charge," he told her. Now, notice this. My master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against my master?" Right?
Yeah,
someone's reading. Thank you. Yeah. Not against my master. You see that? That was very interesting to me. Everywhere he says, "It was my master has done this for me. My master has given me the position. My master." But how then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? What do you think his motivation was? What do you think his motivation was?
What?
The answer starts with a G. Not God, by the way.
Sorry?
God. You know, he was second in charge. He could have done whatever he wanted to. He could have taken the same route that Judah did. Right? But he didn't. Why? Because his actions needed to be, not because what I want to do, but just that please God. Because he was in love with God. And you know what? When Joseph was put into prison, if you read those chapters, the time he was put into prison, the verse says, the Lord was with him and he prospered. Where did he prosper? Not in a lavish room or in a big company. He prospered when he was even in the dungeon. So obviously the connection that he had with God, his life was so close that he was motivated and he did things not because of what would interest him, but because he loved God. You know, it's a story. I often tell this story because it kind of had a relatively big impact in my life. I love Formula One. Okay, relatively fanatic about Formula One. And I think I become Darth Vader when I see Formula One. When I was in England, I'm a good Kerala boy from a small place called Onam Pallam, which probably you guys haven't seen before. Right, but when I see Formula One cars on the road, I can become who you want me to be as long as I can go close to the car. And I literally went onto my post just so that I can get a glimpse of the car and listen to the noise and blah blah blah. But for my wife, it's just cars going round and round and round and round and round. And by the time the driver comes out, he's not really sure whether he's one or he's busy or what's really happening. Right? But I would spend, if you watch Sky TV, you get about 6 hours of coverage. And by the way, that's by streaming, right? You don't get it otherwise. You get about five to six hours of continuous coverage with no advertisement. No, that's not. There are advertisements, but it's not like the Indian television. Right? I would spend 6 hours of my life Sunday mornings. And if it's a Grand Prix in Australia, it's morning time on Sundays. You know where I am on Sunday morning when the Australian Grand Prix is happening? These are all confessions, huh, by the way. I'm not in church. I'm watching cars going round and round and round and round. Yeah? When he got married, I think I didn't understand this.
I love Formula One, and Smita is somewhere here wondering what's really happening. And then I realized, you know what, I'm never going to become a Formula One driver. I'm not even going to become a janitor in a Formula One driver's garage, right? Whereas with this, it's a woman, but with her, I'm going to be living the rest of my life. What is important? Formula One or my wife? I said, you know what? This is not important. I don't need to watch 6 hours. I'll probably see a little bit of the race and, you know, maybe a couple of interviews. On the other hand, Smita says, spend the time and see what is this guy so in love with. But he finds spending six hours. He doesn't spend 6 hours with me. He used to spend 6 hours before marriage. Now he hardly spends any time with me. But then try and see what is it that interests him, right? She said she starts spending some time with me. Not because she loves Formula One, but because she loves me, she decides to make an effort to come and see what is it that interests him. Not because of anything else, but because I love her, I make an effort to come and come. And so now you know what happens? We form an equilibrium. And we meet at a place where we are both comfortable. At least today, now she knows who the Formula One drivers are. She does talk to me about aerodynamics and braking and stuff like that, which I sometimes like to throw. I'm a good consultant, by the way. I drink a lot of coffee and look intelligent, and I can throw a lot of jargon. So yeah, I can talk about aerodynamics and mechanics, and my wife thinks that I know a lot about Formula One today. That's life. You know, our motivation to do things in our lives, is it motivated by the love that we have for God, like Joseph did? Right? In all our relationships, do we demonstrate that? Do we demonstrate that? I was a rebel, right? As I was telling you. If my parents, you know, the Bible says, honor your father and mother. There will be times in our life and I don't want to honor them. But because I love God, will I make an effort to love them? Colleagues who get along well with me, great fun. What about the people who I cannot get along with? How many of us have got good bosses? Raise up your hands. 1, 2, 3. Okay, it's a relatively small percentage, isn't it? What about loving our bosses because we, as a demonstration of us actually loving God? What about our colleagues? Our counterparts, especially our counterparts. We are in the same race as they are, right? I want to get promoted before they do. Right? So they're always, and then yet we go and say, hey, hi, how are you? And they're not even looking into my eyes, and I'm not really sure how to answer that. Right? Especially when people say, hey, what's up? I honestly don't understand that question. Right? I'm not sure what's really up. Do you really want to know what's up? But yeah, anyway, my point being, do we demonstrate, just the way Joseph did, loving somebody who we don't necessarily naturally like to love because God expects us to love? And he says, consider them to be better than yourself. Right? Do we do that? This is still the Joseph story. It hasn't gotten over yet. Okay? One day he comes back into the house as part of his duties. The Potiphar's wife says, come to bed with me. But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. When she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand, she basically makes a big ruckus out of it and tells the people that this Hebrew has been brought to us to make a sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house. What did Judah leave? Judah left the cord and staff in Tamar's hand. It was the evidence of his guilt. What did Joseph leave? His cloak, which she used to prove his guilt. But in fact, what was it? It was the evidence of his innocence. And then finally we have Jesus. No brainer, right? I mean, he's the Son of God. When it comes to love, you look at the definition of love problem, you find Jesus in the Bible. Right? But you know what? The story that really caught me
was in chapter 14. It starts with John having lost his head, literally lost his head. And who was John? John was the guy who brought Jesus into the ministry. He was the guy who baptized Jesus, right? And he was also his cousin. But if I knew somebody close to me, I would probably want to do what? Memorize, grieve, and cry. And you know what? That's exactly what happened. John's disciples came and took his body and buried it, and they went and told Jesus. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by phone privately for solitary peace. But you know what? That same verse continues to say, hearing of this, the crowd followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed the sick. And as evening approached, the disciples came and told him, you know, too many people. Ask them to go back because there is not enough food. And Jesus says, no, let them be there. What do we have? They say we've got, what do they have? 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Just bring them here to me. He blesses the 5 loaves and they all ate and they were satisfied. How many people were there that day? 5,000 people. And that was just the men, not counting the women and the children. Right? Here is Jesus who just lost somebody very close to him. Here is Jesus who wanted to go to a solitary place and have some time out for himself. He didn't even get a chance. There are all these people crowding him, and when he saw his love for them just led to what? Led to healing. It led to restoration, and it led to a celebration. You know, love was all that he had. And Jesus, God is love, right? That's all that he had. He forgets the grief and seeks to serve. So passionate was his love for his people, it translated into celebration. So committed was his love that he died to leave. So here we have Jacob, yeah? Love at first sight. We have Judah, lust at first sight. We have Joseph, who loved God, and we have Jesus, who loved us so much that he then died. And here's the thing. Jacob's love towards his Valentine, nothing really wrong with it, right? I mean, that's most of the things that we often feel, especially at the age when we are courting and all of that jazz. Nothing wrong with it, but the sphere of influence was just that. It was just that. Judah's love, lust and gratification. But the love of Joseph and Jesus demonstrated was not about that. Joseph loved God. And what did that lead to? He became an instrument in saving an entire nation. Why? Because if you continue to read the story of Joseph, there was a big famine that happened. There were countries that got affected by it, not just Egypt, but countries around it. And if it was not for Joseph, Jacob and his entire family were probably perished. But because of his love for God, he became an instrument for him to save an entire nation. And Jesus loved his people, you and me. And that led to a celebration of healing, restoration, and what? And some good food. It was party, right? I mean, 5,000 people plus more. If I were to assume that every 5,000 guys, let's make that half of them, that's 2,500 are married, that's 2,500 women, probably. And their children. That's more than about, you know, 5, 6, 7, what about 8,000, 9,000, 10,000 people. And there were 12 basket full loads left even after all of that. And that's why Jesus said, you know, there's this very well educated person comes and tells Jesus, so what are the 2 biggest commandments? He says, love your God with all your heart. Joseph loved his God with all his heart. And then you have the second commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus loved his neighbor. You know, who is our neighbor? Our neighbor where we stay, the neighbor where we work, the neighbor where we drive. Today when I was coming down, it's so easy to lose your temper, right? But the neighbor that's around you. He's just crisscrossing, and I'm crisscrossing, but I would find the conversator and say, well, you're wrong. All of your fault. And yet God says, do you love them? Why? Because when we love them, this is what happens. There's a good chance that an entire country or a nation will take peace. A good chance that there is celebration that happens. Tomorrow is Valentine's Day, and my kids the birthday. Right? Who are we going to celebrate tomorrow? Yeah? Who are we going to celebrate tomorrow? Are we going to be celebrating? Now, I'm of this very strong opinion that our Valentine, we should celebrate them 365 days. Because they are not just worth it, but they deserve it. Oh, look at my wife. She has to be with two young kids. One a little grown up, one is really like a worker. Right? And then she has to look after the house, and then, you know, there are times when people call me up to pay my credit card bills, and I'm saying, sweetheart, please can you handle this? Right? Or sometimes she does the most menial of the things, right? My mom. Are we celebrating those relationships? Perhaps it's time for us that one day of the year, instead of celebrating the so-called Valentine, we focus our love on these two aspects. Who is it that we can go up, maybe to the guy or to the girl that we really don't like, and saying, hey, will you be my valentine? Buy them a cup of... Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it? It's difficult. Buy them some roses and, you know, buy them some chocolates and probably give them a back at you. But that's okay. That's okay. But would we be courageous enough to do something out of the ordinary? Would we love God and say, hey, because I love you, I'm going to be ruthless with my time. I'm going to be getting up at 5:30 every morning. I'm just going to try and bask in your holiness. Can you be doing that? And that's the last thing I want to see with you. Love your God with all your heart. And love your neighbor. That's awesome. Thank you. That's all I have to share.